other of me, and mark them which also walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. May be seated. I want to say good morning to the congregation. It's good for us to be here. Our God, he is alive.
Yes, sir.
And it is in him that we live and breathe and have our being. And what a wonderful thing to know that as we opened up our eyes this morning, that God was there, and so was his blessings and all the life that he has to give each and every one of us. What a glorious day it is. It's a glorious day. Even a better time that we have to sit before God in his presence, to praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say this morning that, you know, at times in my life, as growing up as a child, I would always wonder why mom would always say, walk beside me. And sometimes those of us would walk in front of her and she would be upset about that, or if we're walking too far behind, she couldn't see us. What she wanted us to understand was that she never wanted us to do those things. She only wanted us to walk with her all the time. Walk with me. And understand the reason for that, even today, even in my spiritual life, why God wants us to not walk far ahead of him or not walk behind. But God wants us to just walk with him. This morning I want to turn back to the Old Testament and read just a few verses in your hearing this morning. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9, "And the patriarchs moved with envy. They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 10, "And David went on and grew. He grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him." 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse number 1, "And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him, and he magnified him exceedingly." Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. "How God anointed just Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." We can't walk by ourselves in this present world of danger. Or if only our names were written in the Bible and were written as such as was just read in your hearing, we would not only know that God was with us, but we would see it written down that God is certainly with us. The question this morning is, church, God is always there with us, willing to protect us and guide us and give us all that we need. Are you walking with God this morning? Are you walking with him? Now let's turn to the book of Genesis, and I want to read about a guy by the name of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 and verses 18 through 27. His name is Enoch. But all that we find about him is from his genealogical record only. I want you to notice that at this chapter, chapter 5, places emphasis on the fact that each person died, but then we come across the record of a man by the name of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 through 27. "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived and 870 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 in 2 years, and they got sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. There's the phrase. And he died. And he died. All the persons that we just read died, but the Bible says that when we come across a man by the name of Enoch, the Bible doesn't say that. And this is all we know about Enoch. The lack of details concerning his life caused the Jews to take a special interest in him. You know, when people just don't know a certain thing about you, they're curious and they want to find those things out. The Jews took a special interest in Enoch because they didn't have a whole lot of details concerning his life. And I think it's understandable that he was popular in that way because he just didn't die. We have not a whole lot of information about his life. His son Methuselah had more notoriety than he did, living to be 969 years old, that ripe old age. I can't even fathom living to be 200 years old, but 969 is a wonderful blessing by God. And Methuselah had to live to be 969 years of age because somebody had to tell a story generation after generation after generation. And that could be you as well. The natural question that comes to mind, church, is why did he not die? And I think to help find the answer to why he did not die, we need to consider the morality of the people at that time. Within three generations, the moral nature of people was so bad, three generations, mind you, that the scriptures record in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was so great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The thoughts of man's heart were evil all of the time. They were not walking with God, but Enoch, on the contrary, he was walking with God continually. You know, we think that we see our society going down the tubes because of immorality that surrounds us. We think that that's exactly what we see. But I want you to consider what Enoch was putting up with. I want you to consider all the things that were surrounding his life and what he had to deal with. But he didn't sit back. He didn't just relax himself and simply grieve over the deterioration of the human race. Enoch stood up and he walked towards God and he went preaching to the people. The book of Jude, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says these words. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We're talking about walking with God, and we're looking at things that's contrary to that. We need to look at our lives sometimes, church, and see if we are walking contrary to God. It might not be as evil as this is, but how do you rate what is sin and what is not sin, how big or small a sin is? If you're not walking with God at all, you're filled with sin. Enoch spoke in those days about the coming flood from his kinsman Noah. He spoke about what would take place when Noah arrived, when God would execute his judgment on the world because of the great wickedness and evil that was going on continually every day in the heart of man. Yet rather than having to continue living this world of extreme depravity, of having to wait for the flood, the scriptures record the simple thing that God just took him. Man, I always say, and I don't know why, it just intrigues me that God just doesn't take us all out of the baptistry, take us up out of the water and just bring us home. He leaves us here that we might be able to have an opportunity to walk with God here while we're on this earth before we walk with him in eternity. And if you can't walk with him down here, there goes Katie by the door. If you can't walk with God in spirit here, you will not walk with God in eternity. So God took him. Wouldn't it be great if God just took us? Just take me right now, Lord. How many are ready, though? Some people don't want to be took. Don't take me right now, Lord. Give me a minute. Just 1 minute, that's all I need. Enoch walked with God. There are two people in Scripture that didn't see death, but only one person is said to have to walk with God, and his name is Enoch. The Genesis account suggests that Enoch, he disappeared. In other words, he was not, or he was just not there. Here's a challenge for us today. Here's our own personal pursuit. We have the ability, church, just like Enoch, to trust God. Listen to me now. Not only do we have the ability just to trust God, we have the ability to trust in God, because there's two different things. Even the demons believe. Okay. Jesus repeatedly warned us that we would be in the minority in our efforts to serve God. We'd be in the minority when it comes to faith. He says in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, just come in the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go therein. But just come into the gate, come into that straight gate, that narrow way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. We are in the minority when it comes to walking with God. The whole world that teems around us, you can look at 95 probably percent of the people in the world, they are not walking. So the question that I beg this morning is, are you in that 5% that are walking with God, or are you not? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Or, and if it first begin with us, Peter says, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, let them that walk according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. Listen, I know we live in this world, and I know this world is not a good place. We sing a song, this world is not our home, we're just passing through. I know we live in this world. And to varying degrees, all of us struggle with our faith from time to time. There are always issues that are going on in our lives. The question is, church, is response, response, response. Sometimes it even seems that other people have no faith at all as well, and we're disappointed in who they are. I think that this is why our faith can be shaken when Satan puts up that smoke screen in our lives and it makes it so thick that we can barely see who we are. He puts the smoke screen up so thick we can barely see whom we've become. He puts the smoke screen up so thick that we cannot walk beside God. Sometimes we walk behind him, we're lagging, and sometimes we're walking in front of God trying to do our own thing. Satan puts up the smoke screen and we are blinded because all we can see is ourselves. And we go walking. And we go walking in darkness, and we go walking, and we go walking in sadness and sickness, and we go walking in sin, and we go walking everywhere except walking with God. We can go walk the dog. We go walking to varying degree. All of us struggle in our faith, and sometimes we stumble. But God gives us that strength when we stumble to continue walking, because our goal is heaven. And our faith should not be shaken by these things that we simply can control by just praying to God and allowing him to be our deliverer and our rescue. Our strength comes from God. We don't have to stop walking. Enoch says that we have the challenge to put our trust in God when no one else is willing to do it. When our parents don't trust in God, we can trust in God. When our spouses don't trust in God, we can trust in God. When our children and our friends just don't seem to trust in God, or we can continue to show them that we are walking with God. Do you want to come along? And even more so, when those that are sitting beside you that say they're partners with you in the common faith, when they're not serving God, we can still walk. Amen? We can walk with God. You know, in a parallel to Enoch, we're living in a world that continues to just move away from the Lord. I mean, look at it. We need to be drawing near to God. If we draw near to God, God is going to draw near to us. I mean, individually and collectively as a body of Christ, if we draw near to God, he's already on the way. He's there. He's there. So how do you have enough courage to trust in God when no one else in the world is trusting with God? How do you have the courage to do that? The point of the author, what he's saying, what Jude is saying, is that Enoch walked with God, period. That's all you have to do. But we find other things to do to occupy our time. And sometimes we walk in and we don't even know where we're going. And sometimes we walk in and we don't even see things around us. And sometimes we just walk in to be walking. Jude says Enoch walked with God. What else is it that you want to do? Who else is it that you want to walk with? Who is it that you want to be with? Enoch walked. Imagine the name written in the Bible. It says that. Imagine that. Enoch walked with God. What makes it so wonderful is that everything that's in the scripture is true, so it will be true that you walk with God. It doesn't have to be written now. You can know that you walk with God. I don't know whether you're walking with him like you ought to or not. Only you know that. There has to be a period of adjustment in your life when you stop walking ahead of God or stop walking behind him. Line yourself up and just walk with God. We're going through too much of foolishness. We're playing these games with our spiritual lives. Let me tell you something. If you can't get along with me and you call yourself a Christian, you're not walking with God. If you're fussing with your spouse over foolishness, you're not walking with God. If you're stealing, if you're lying. We Christians, we're walking with God. Yeah, when you're lying, when you're saying it. We have to get to a point in our lives where we are serious, just like Enoch. When God looks at our heart, he knows that even though there are things going on in our lives, turmoil all around us, he looks at us, he sees the Christ, and he knows that we are walking. You've got to know that as well. You've got to know that you can walk with God and do it. Do it. Our mission is to get to heaven, church, and we're not going to get there walking alone. We need to be drawing near to God. We need to do that. Enoch had an extraordinary relationship to God. How is your relationship to God? How is it? I think we need to picture having a communication with God. Just let your mind's eye see that. Praying always in the spirit of the Lord. I think we also need a picture of spending time with God. How much time do we spend? I tell Brother Colin, how much time do you spend with God? How much time? Listen, however you do it, and the brother was talking about it in Bible study this morning, however you do it, let's just be still and know that I am God, he says. However you do it, let's just meditate quietly and just walk with God. However you do it, let's just have fellowship with God. Because if we don't have fellowship with God, we don't have fellowship one with another. And you wonder why we're not getting along? Because we don't have that fellowship with God. We're not walking in the light with God. We're talking about a close fellowship with God. Enoch had that fellowship. How about you? Do you enjoy reading the Bible? Walking with God. When's the last time you just stopped and prayed a sincere prayer and it wasn't over your food? When was the last time you had a wonderful conversation with God, knowing full well that a conversation just drew you closer and closer to Him, to having a wonderful and loving relationship with the God that you say you love? Too many times we find ourselves in relationships and we don't even talk to one another. And we say we love one another. We say we walking together in a close relationship. You cannot have a close relationship with another person if you don't know one another. I can't have a close relationship with you in the body of Christ if you don't want to get to know me, if I don't want to get to know you, and we say we're walking with God. Didn't God put us together? How can you have the audacity to say that, look, God might have put us together, but you just stay over there? I mean, think about it for a second. We all creatures of habit. How many people right now in this room, if I ask you to get up and change your pews and sit somewhere else, would want to do it? Sit beside somebody else that you don't know. Who would want to do it? You can't have a close relationship if you don't get to know one another. You can't have a close relationship if you don't talk to one another. You can't have a close relationship if you don't spend time together and work to understand one another. Church family. Church family. Biological family. Enoch had a special kind of relationship with God. And I'm going to say it to you again. And he walked with God. He walked with Him. Let me tell you what was so incredible about the God that we serve and what He allows us to do. Each and every one of us can draw as closer to God as we want to. There's no limitations, amen? As close as you want to be to Him, He'll allow you to get there. He won't say, okay, that's far enough. Don't get in my personal space. As close as you want to get to God, I'm telling you, you can. Oh, isn't it incredible? I'm talking about spiritual people living in the Spirit and God, who's a Spirit, just embracing you in the love that He has for you. When is the last time that you held hands with God and just embraced all that He was and all that He is and all that you are in His presence? I'm talking about being in the presence of God. I'm talking about His love, your faith that you have for Him. I'm not talking about walking in front of God. Some of us don't want to draw very close to God because we got other things in our lives that say otherwise. We got a couple of things that the dictionary calls secrets. But God knows all the secrets of your heart. You think you're hiding it from Him? You can't do that. Listen, we think we can cheat. Nobody knows that you're cheating. Let me tell you, your wife knows that, she might not acknowledge it. I mean, you don't think Camille knew what Bill was doing all those years? Give me a break. Listen to me. God knows whether you love Him or not, whether you're sincere or not, whether you want to walk beside Him or not. Some people yearn to get closer to Friday than they yearn to get closer to God. They're living for the weekend. Can't wait till Friday. They want to be closer to Friday, and Friday comes, and so what? Then there's sports. They want to be closer to their sports teams or closer to their finances or their hobbies or their work or their wealth. They want to be closer to something else other than God. We're not able to draw near to God, and we don't have the relationship with God that He desires. A relationship that we also desire is one that God wants us to have with Him. We've been holding hands and walking our own in this world for so long. It's been too long. We've got to turn the hands of the world loose and start walking with God for a change. We've got to leave the physical world behind, and we've got to draw near to God in the Spirit of God. We've got to walk with God. That's it. That's it. That's simple. Three words: walk with God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 says these words: As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Be grateful. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rulers of the world, and not after Christ. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there in the world who think that they're walking with God, but their religion is based on tradition. Paul says you're not walking with Christ. Their religion is based on the religion of men. You're not walking with Christ. Their religion is based on the rulers of the world. Paul says it's not after Christ. God has nothing to do with it. So you're walking religiously, but you're not walking spiritually because you're not walking by God's word. We got to walk with God, church. We are commanded to walk with God, being rooted and grounded in God. We are to be established in the Lord at all times, because that's where our strength and our encouragement is found. It's found only in the Lord. Listen, God didn't give us our legs so we can just stand for the things in the world. God gave us our legs to stand on the very foundation of his word. To stand in the foundation rooted and grounded in his word and in Christ, so we can continue to walk and continue our journey and continue to walk only with God alone. We can't ride two horses, church. We can't have one foot on one horse's back, one on the other. Can't do that. Either we with God or we not with God. We've been reading the scripture all of our lives. I want to help you understand two scriptures this morning. If you don't understand anything else, I want you to understand two. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when you look at that scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This statement is lumped with a man by the name of who? Enoch. Look at it. Enoch. And it says without faith, we cannot walk with God, period. Amen? There's simply no way to have a relationship with God if we don't surrender our lives to him and entrust our lives to his leadership, to his guidance. Enoch walked with God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I want you to see this statement for what it really is now. Walk with me now. This was the writer of Hebrews. He didn't say without faith it is difficult to please God. And sometimes we treat the writer's words that way. We say, you know, it's so difficult sometimes to please God. No, that's not what he's saying. It is not difficult to be pleasing to God. When we have a lack of faith, it is impossible. That's different. I want you to understand the gravity of what that's saying. It is impossible to please God if you don't walk with God in faith. It's there. This was the point that we learned from Cain. Anybody remember Cain? I don't know what his exact problem was, but I do know that he didn't trust God enough to worship God in the way that he asked him to worship him. So he wasn't walking with God. Many times the context is ignored, and we simply talk a mild belief in God. We're not talking about a mild belief here. We're not talking about that. This is what the writer is talking about. The writer has set up for us that faith is about seeing the unseen, seeing the invisible. So when we are told that we need to believe that he is or he exists, this is not mere acknowledgement that there is a God. James says even the demons believe that and they tremble. We don't just acknowledge that God is there. That's not what he's talking about. To believe that God is has ramifications for all of our lives. To believe that God is saying that we need to walk with him because he is there. If God is, then I need to be found pleasing to God. If God is, then I need to let God be true and every man become a liar, as it is written. If God is, I need to know that I can be as well, but only in Christ. The writer is not asking us to nod our heads that there's a God. He's not asking us to acknowledge that. He's not asking us to believe it, that God is. It reaches further into our lives than that. It's a little deeper than that. Believing that God is caused Abel to worship God properly. Believing that God is led Enoch to make the decision to walk with God. Do you believe that God is? Because if you do, you too can walk with God. Believing that God is has apparently affected your life right now because you are found in the presence of God in worship and praise to God at this minute. You believe that God is. Yes, you do. And I know that even though we struggle, I know all of us are trying to walk with God. But I don't want you to walk in false pretense. I want you to walk in faith. That's the difference. I don't want you to walk so everybody else can see that you're here and you're pretty and dressed up and you're looking all good and you're in God's house. No, I want God to look at your heart and know that we sincerely believe that he is and that he rewards us for walking with him. We can't give up. We can't. We got to keep walking. Notice what the rest of verse 6 says, Hebrews 11:6. Whoever draws near to God must believe. Must believe. And they must believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him, who walks toward God and who walks with God. He rewards. We can be a people just like Enoch. People who stand against the crowd because we know that God's going to reward us for standing. We can have the strength to walk with God because we know that God will reward us for our faith. And the scriptures are full of motivations like that. Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God, right? Whatever you do, knowing that you're going to receive a reward and inheritance from the God, do it as you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3-5, according to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance as imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. James 1:12 says these words. Blessed are those who persevere in the trial, because when they have stood the test, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You've got to stand because the test is coming, church. You've got to stand and walk with God, and you're going to receive that crown of life that God has promised to you. Let me explain one more scripture to you, and then we're going to thank God for allowing us to be here this morning. We all know what Amos 3:3 says. We quote it backwards sometimes. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they what? Unless they agree. That's what he says, right? I want you to understand what Amos is talking, because so many people take this out of context. And they go in and say, well, you know what? Me and you, we got to agree before we can get along. Me and you got to do this. I want you to know what he's saying in Amos 3:3. If you look at the whole context of what he's saying in that scripture, you'll find that Amos was never a prophet. His father wasn't a prophet. You'll find that what he had was an appointment from God. And all of us have an appointment from God as well. And listen, if you and I don't agree, we can't have an appointment. He's saying that it was God who called me. It was God who appointed me. A lion can't roar if he don't catch any prey. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm not doing this on my own. It was God who called me. And unless I agree with God, I cannot walk with God. And unless you agree with God, you cannot walk with God. That's what he's saying. Do two men walk together unless they've made an appointment? He wouldn't have been prophesying had God not called him. Listen, it's the same as two people. You wouldn't be walking together unless they had previously made an appointment to meet each other. All of us got one appointment that we just can't shake, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed to man once to die. After death comes the judgment. We've got that appointment and we can't shake it. But in between life and death, you've got to be walking with God. So when that appointment comes, amen? Yeah. Billie Holiday said these words. Don't threaten me with love. And she says, baby, don't threaten me with love, baby. Let's go walking in the rain. All of us have issues, amen? Sometimes it just never stops raining on any of us. And in our relationships, we tell people all the time how much we love them, but we don't want to go out in the rain and, I'm not getting wet for you, woman. Paul said we need to keep walking no matter what's going on in our lives. Just keep walking. For I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I'm going to keep walking. He said, I know what it is to have plenty, and I'm going to keep walking. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, and I'm going to keep walking with God. Whether we fit or hungry or well-fed, I'm going to walk with God. Whether I'm living in plenty or whether I'm in want, I'm going to walk with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to continue to do what? To walk with God. We don't want to walk with our spouses if we don't agree with them. Oh, you can forget that. And we say we love them. Too trifling to even take out the garbage can. God, give me strength. We ask him for strength to love each other. And we just can't seem to walk together. But we're walking with God, amen? Listen, it's better to walk in darkness together than to walk in light by yourself. Because when you're walking in darkness together, that's when you get to know each other, when you're going through the struggles together. And when you know that God is there, would you listen, God has never left us alone. No matter what we've been going through, Paul said, God has always walked there with us. But sometimes we find ourselves walking ahead of God, trying to solve those problems ourselves, or we walk behind God and we will try to ignore him and sweep him under the rug. Don't pick the rug up. They're still there, amen? Listen, we either walk with God or we walk away from God. We either walk with each other or we walk away from each other. Our love has drifted so far apart since we've been married, heard somebody say. Honey, I don't even know who you are anymore. Where did you get that from? I can just see God. Oh, I've been walking with you all these years, Methuselah. Now you're 960 years old. You got 9 left, and I don't know who you are. Can you imagine a wife telling a husband that, or a husband telling a wife that after 30-some years? How about 7? How about 10? How about 1? We're talking about the love of God and how he lives within us, and we live and breathe and have our being in God, and how he loves us so much that he walks with us. And we're going to look at God and says, you know what, God? I can't do it no more. I've got irreconcilable differences with you, God. Either we're walking with him or we're not, period. We're called to believe in God's promises, and we believe that God is going to fulfill those promises, church. And the faith that we stand in is our hope. God has given us our spiritual legs to walk with each other and to walk with God. Can you walk with me? We've all been appointed by God to do something. In between the life we live now and our death, we are appointed by God to continue to walk with God and walk with each other in the fellowship with Christ Jesus. Are you doing it? Or are you taking it for granted? Hebrews 11, chapter 5 says these words. But faith, by faith Enoch was taken up so he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Can I put your name there? Before God takes you, before death comes your way, can you be commended as having pleased God, as having walked with God? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse number 6. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Let me say this to you again, church. It is not difficult to be pleasing to God. When you have a lack of faith, it is impossible. So are you doing the impossible? Are you not walking with God? What about your faith? What about your relationships? What about them? Do they mean anything to you? We get along better with the people in the world than we do the people in the church and in our own families. What a sad commentary that is. Because we get so used to each other and we take each other for granted, and we've done the same thing with God. God, I know you've been walking by me the whole while, but you know what? I know you're there, but I don't see you sometimes. But he sees you. He sees you. And he hears you. And he loves you. And he wants to save you. Do you want to be saved by God? Do you want to come out of the world? Do you want to come out of all those old habits that you have and show God that you love him by appreciating the walk that you have with God? Some people are just destroying their walk because their faith is not what it ought to be. God calls us all to hear his word. We've got to hear him. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. You know, Jesus said in John 8:24, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You're going to die. We got to repent of our sins, church. Stop comparing ourselves to other people who've sinned or those in the world and thinking that just because what they do, you ought to get to heaven because you're a better sinner than them or whatever. He said in Luke 13:3-5, don't compare yourself to the people in Siloam, because just like they sinned and didn't repent, you're going to die as well if you don't repent of your sins. Do you hear God? John 6:45 is written in the prophets. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Every man that hears and learns, he comes and he walks with me, God says. He gave us our legs so that we can walk with God. Strengthen your spiritual legs and help strengthen mine. Let's walk together with Christ. Let's be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts 22:16, Acts 2:37-5, Galatians 3:26-5. Let's be baptized into Christ. Colossians 2. It's wonderful how he says that, you know, when you get in that water grave of baptism in the book of Colossians, he says it's a circumcision not done by the hands of man, but by God himself. God takes away the filth of our flesh, and he cleanses us, and he makes us whole so that we might be whole in his presence, that he might be able to walk with us, because where sin is, God cannot be. How many of us are locking God of our lives because we are just so sinful, we walk the other way? God calls us, church. He calls us to walk with him and not pretend that we walk in. Look into the faith that God has given us. Look with our mind's eye and see the invisible, the unseen God, and know that our God loves us enough to come down from heaven on this earth where everything wicked is, and to walk not only with us, but among us, and to become one of us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Oh, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh, and Jesus walked among us. I see God not abandoning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I see God walking with Jesus. I see him on his way to Calvary, carrying that cross, and even though his legs are weak and he's stumbling, I see God walking with Jesus Christ. I see him walking not only up to Calvary, but I see him walking with the Son as he gets upon that cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I see him walking with you, even though you're hissing and you're cursing at the Christ. God's still walking in your life that he might heal you of your sin-sick, miserable lives. We walk his Son straight to death. I tell you something, if somebody's treating your child bad, are you going to want to walk with them? If somebody's treating your child, beating them or fussing at them or scorning them, or husbands keep money from wives, wives keep their bodies from their husbands. Amen. The Bible says that we have to agree together if we're going to walk together. God keeps nothing from us. Nothing.
Don't keep yourself from God. Our souls are on the line. Listen, I dare you to get up and be baptized into Christ right now. You know the truth. You know what's right. And you know you're not walking with God. I'm not afraid to tell you. I'm going to look you in your eye and tell you you're going to get mad at me right now, but your soul is going to be saved. I'd rather be mad at me now than the bus hell wide open. Amen. You know the truth. Allow Christ to change your life. You can walk with God right now, and let us help you as we stand and sing this invitation song. Will you come?